Amen. There is a lot we don't know about the letter to the Hebrews. We don't know with any certainty the name of its author, nor do we know to whom this communication was directed. We can make certain assumptions, surmises, suppositions. We can look to tradition. But if we're looking for cold, hard facts, historical data, we're out of luck. Now, there might be some people here who are thinking, well, that's just fine because I didn't come to church for a history lesson. I want some inspiration. The world is falling apart, and I need to hear something from Scripture that is going to give me faith and courage and carry me forward through the week ahead. Here's something I want to tell you. History is something that can inspire our faith. History is something that can show us how to walk with God. History is something that can help us see the kingdom. This was the message that we just heard from the 11th chapter of Hebrews. The unknown author was writing to a community that we can discern was grappling with some problems. They may have been persecuted, discouraged, losing faith and heart, not sure what to do. And the author wanted to help these people continue to follow the path of Jesus. He wanted them to move towards the kingdom. And so, to provide some inspiration, the author of the letter began to share some stories. And if you read through this chapter, you will see this long litany of the faithful, not just Abraham, of whom we heard today, but so many other women and men who through their lives demonstrated a belief, indeed a conviction, that the promises of God were true, that they could be counted upon, even if they were not seen in their fulfillment in the present day. And so we think about how Abraham lived his life, how he traveled from his home to a new country, how he believed God when he was told that he would be the progenitor of a great people when he didn't think he could even have a child. We saw how he walked with God when he was asked to sacrifice that child, believing throughout thick and thin that God would never let him down. Faith is a belief in things we can't see. Faith is a conviction that God's promises will be fulfilled in the future. This is not an idle hope, we are told by the author of Hebrews. This is a fact of life. Now, do I live our lives believing this about faith? Imagine what our lives are like if we do. I was reflecting on this proposition this week, and as I was preparing the service and thinking about our sharing communion, my memory was drawn back to a trip that some of the members of First Congregational Church and I took to El Salvador a couple of years ago. We'd gone down to build a house in a community with which we had been building ties over many years, and we had the opportunity, while we were there, to visit San Salvador and to go to the hospice, Las Divinas, where Archbishop Oscar Romero lived and worshipped and ministered to the people. We came together in the sanctuary where he prayed and celebrated Mass, and we stood at the altar where Romero was assassinated. And I remember placing my hands on that altar and praying, and it was one of the most powerful experiences I have ever had. And from that moment, I was able to draw some inspiration and encouragement as I thought about the pilgrimage of faith. But I also know that when I think about living the Christian life, Oscar Romero and I are in two completely different leagues. I am not delusional. I am not going to place myself in the same category as one of the great saints of the church. But that doesn't mean I can't look to him for inspiration. And we know that there are men and women who may not be political or church leaders who have similar faith and who are inspired to do great things. I know that everybody here has met people like that in their home church and during their lives. And I was reminded of this kind of faith recently through the story of Jacques Hamel, the 85-year-old French priest who was killed while celebrating Mass. His assailants were two members of Islamic State, and now there's debate going on about how this should be interpreted. Should we see this as religiously motivated violence, or is it a political statement? And I think the argument misses the point. I look at Father Hamel and I think about his commitment to God made known in Jesus Christ. 85 years old, he was well past the time for retirement. But the church needed priests. And he still felt that he wanted to live his vocation. So there he was, celebrating the Mass. And as he was being struck down, he called for the devil to leave. Even in his moment of suffering, he wanted to oppose darkness. Think about the faith that this man had. He drew that faith from his experience of God. And in the Catholic tradition, this experience often comes into focus in the celebration of the Mass, the Eucharist. Now, in our Protestant tradition, we don't have doctrines like transubstantiation. We will not come to this table believing that the bread and the juice are going to be changed into the body of Jesus. But this table will hopefully be for us so much more than simply a commemoration of what Jesus did for his friends and for all of us all those years ago. Hopefully, when we come to this table, we will feel God's presence. We will experience God's grace. We will know God's love. On this day, as we come together from different congregations to form one community, we have an opportunity to get a glimpse of that future city, of the kingdom, of God's new creation, of that time when all barriers are broken down, when our distinctions are set aside, when we are all fully united in God's love. My hope and my prayer is that as we come to the table today, and as we share fellowship, as we lift up our voices in song and prayer, we will each experience a renewed and blessed living faith.